views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Each week on the hit show Out of the Fog, spark your spirit and ignite your soul. Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic, lights up your day with spiritual conversation, enlightening guests, and on-air readings that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, light workers, spiritual visionaries, and more. Whether she's interviewing someone well-known or unknown, Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity keep the atmosphere positive and generous. Want an on-air reading? Tune in to hear Karen and take your calls and deliver the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Now here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for a spiritual conversation and enlightening guests. I want to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. I want to get you moving from stuck to unstuck, out of fear, and into love. I am glad you're here, whether you're listening live or you're catching an archived version of this show. See, time and distance are no barrier to energy. And whenever you're tuning in, no matter how you found us, I think you're here for a reason. So I hope something you hear in the next hour gives you a new perspective and helps you move forward. So when we think of a spiritual path, we might think about prayer or meditation, yoga, fasting maybe, and we don't usually think about our everyday meals as being a gateway to mystical transformation. My guests today are Denise and Meadow Lynn, and they believe that every item of food we ingest can be a key that helps us open doors of perception and connection. They're the authors of the new book, The Mystic Cookbook, The Secret Alchemy of Food. I will introduce you to Denise and Meadow in just a minute, but first, if you are listening at transformationtalkradio.com and you have a question about food, about spirituality and the way that food plays into that, about opening the doors of perception using food as a delightful tool to do that, go ahead and use the instant feedback box that you see on the right-hand corner of the page there at transformationtalkradio.com. That will ping a little message to me, and then I will read your question on the air. And while you're fooling around on the internet, go to fogcitypsychic.com and click on everything. This Saturday is the monthly online gallery reading, the Out of the Fog Salon, and there's two places, well, there's one place left. Maybe there's two. I tend to make room for more people because I get excited and I enjoy it. If you want to join me for an afternoon of laughter, of connection, where everybody on the call gets a reading, it's a lot of fun. Details are available at fogcitypsychic.com. And now, Denise Lynn is an internationally respected healer, writer, and teacher, as well as a world-acclaimed expert in feng shui and space clearing. She's written 18 books, including the best-selling Sacred Space and Soul Coaching. She's been a featured guest on Oprah, Lifetime, Discovery Channel, BBC, NBC, CBS, and she's also the founder of the International Institute of Soul Coaching. Meadow Lynn is a noted speaker, writer, and chef, and she's Denise Lynn's daughter. When she was 18, Meadow started catering her mother's retreats, and she's been doing it ever since. And that led to this extraordinary collaboration on this brand new book, The Mystic Cookbook, The Secret Alchemy of Food. Meadow writes a blog called Savor the Day, and her articles appear frequently in the Seattle Chinese Times. She's also a contributing writer to In Spirit magazine. You can find out more about The Mystic Cookbook, about Denise and Meadow Lynn, at themysticcookbook.com. Denise and Meadow, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Thank you so much
for having us.
Hey, this is a lot of fun, and it's a great day to have this conversation. This is Food Day in the United States. Did you know that?
No. There's a day dedicated to food. I love that.
There isn't it, and it's today. People can head over to foodday.org, and this is a nationwide celebration and kind of a movement that's toward letting people know more about healthy, affordable, and sustainable food. So it's wonderful that we're here to talk.
I think this is the second annual food day. It's a new thing. It's pretty Mrs. Meadows. It's pretty exciting. I learned about it last year at a conference, and it's exciting that so many people are interested in new sustainable ways of eating that are healthy and delicious and good for our planet. yay for food day!
Hooray for food day! And it creates an atmosphere of being mindful about what we're putting in our bodies.
Yeah. It's hard when there's two of us, because like I'm waiting for my daughter to jump in and she's waiting for me to jump in, and then there's radio silence.
No, we can't have radio silence. We must not do that. Well, here, let's do it like this. Denise, why did you feel it was important to write this cookbook? What sparked this idea for you two to write the book?
Well, let me just take a step back in my to answer your question. Many, many years ago, when I was a teenager, I had a pretty dramatic near-death experience. And as a result of that, and both my parents were scientists. They were actually food scientists, food chemists. And I wanted to be a scientist. But as a result of the experiences that I had on the other side, where the doctor said, she's gone, I really had developed a passion for wanting to understand more about spirituality, wanting to understand more about the realm of spirit. So I trained in so many different modalities. I spent 2.5 years in a Zen Buddhist monastery, sitting, meditating up to 16 hours a day. I traveled the world and trained with and spent time with shamans and medicine men and medicine women, with the Zulu, the head Sangoma of all Zulus, Cradle Mutwa in Africa. I got initiated and adopted into a Maori tribe in New Zealand. I spent time with the Aborigines, had some very profound experiences. Meadow and I are both of Cherokee heritage, so I delved into my own heritage. And a shaman in Brazil, like in different places around the world, I began to study with people and who had the ability to step into the inner realm. Now, a lot of this training was arduous, and there's kind of a collective belief that in order to grow spiritually, you need to suffer. It's not fun, you know, and it's serious.
Yep.
But my daughter, I am so blessed with a daughter from probably the moment she was born. She has had a passion for food. And even before she could talk, she had a passion for food. She loves everything about cooking and growing her own food. And as she really opened that door about food, because food to me was, well, that's what you ate. You know, I didn't see food as a path to mystical experience. I didn't see food as a powerful, potent activator of spiritual growth. But through her, as I began to enter into that realm where food just isn't sustenance for our body, that it can be sustenance for our soul, and that you can actually change the vibration of food. And by doing that, it has a powerful effect on you and anybody who eats it. They absorb that vibration. So I began to, with my training and my avocation of spending time in different cultures, is to find out, how do you see food? How do you use food? How does that increase your connection to spirit? And what ancient and native cultures have for us in terms of understanding is profound. So that's just a small part of what we've put into this cookbook, is how your food can catapult you into vast inner realms and dimensions, and it can be done. I'm sorry for talking so long. I just got passionate about this book, and I'm passionate about how food can be a powerful advocate for our pathway.
Well, and the passion comes through in the book. This book is going to be released at the end of November, and there's a lot more information at themysticcookbook.com. Meta, what was it like to work with your mother? Was that and you can be honest now, it's just us here, just talking. How was that there?
Well, you know, that's funny, because we stalled for a little while at the beginning, because we've always had a great relationship, but we've worked together for years, but not as collaborators. We've worked where I've cooked for her retreats, or I've helped out in the office, but not as, you know, a project that we're both, you know, 50-50 equal partners in it. We weren't sure, you know, we get along great, but you don't know how that mother-daughter dynamic might feed into that, because, you know, as everybody who, you know, everybody has a mom, everybody has different, you know, knows how those dynamics can go, no matter how good you get along. There sometimes are little things that come up, but the most remarkable thing happened, that we didn't quibble. We thought we would, and instead we actually, I mean, my dad teases us now that we've kind of more morphed into the same person. I think the more time we, not exactly, obviously, but the more time that we spent working together, the more similar we became. Our writer's voice really kind of became one. We started to finish each other's sentences. As a result, I now have a penchant for wearing flannel pajamas while I work, which is something I picked up from my mom. So you know, it really was a wonderful project to be able to work with her, and I've gained so much more respect, too, seeing from the inside out how much work she does and how much love she exudes to everything she does and for all of the people that that she touches. But now, you know, I've always seen it from the outside in, and now I've seen it from the inside out, and it's given me a wonderful perspective. And it was a joy. We had such a good time. And it was nice, too. We had different aspects that we worked on and focused on, but we really kind of meshed and blended, and we ended up, the whole book is really a collaboration.
And I'm a better cook as a result. We always thought it was a good collaboration because Meadow loved to cook and I loved to eat. But as a result of working on this book, I find that I am more present with each thing I eat, but also I'm more present in the preparation in a way I wasn't before. So, and I'd like to think that the depth of compassion and love we felt for the project and we love for each other as we worked on this is infused into the book, and that whoever reads it is going to feel that energy.
Oh, that is fantastic stuff. You are listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guests are Denise and Meadow Lynn, authors of The Mystic Cookbook. We'll be right back after this.
I've got a song, I ain't got no melody. I'm gonna sing it to my friends. I've got a song, I ain't got no melody.
Tune in to The Sean and Jen Show, Soul Path Insights Radio, each Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with Sean and Jen will have you saying yes to as much abundance as you desire. Imagine a happier soul, radiating energy in all areas of your life. Get ready to understand the meaning and the message in your life. Shift obstacles to opulence. Experience powerful, intuitive coaching, live readings, and transformative tools as Sean and Jen dare you to live your best life.
Saskia has been helping clients around the world to find the North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. Visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your free 21 Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams. Or to schedule your soul breakthrough session with Saskia, call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861.
Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session, or dial 415-235-2807.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. I love you. Here I am. And I love Denise and Meadow Lynn. They are the authors of the new book, The Mystic Cookbook, The Secret Alchemy of Food. And you can find out more about Denise, about Meadow, about the book at themysticcookbook.com. Denise, this is not, it's called The Mystic Cookbook, but it's not there, and there are awesome recipes in here. I can't wait. I got an advanced copy. One of the things I love about this job, and I can't wait to try some of these recipes, but it's not just recipes, is it? It's not traditional.
It does have some wonderful recipes that that Meadow's developed, and they're so good, and she's honed them over many years of cooking at various retreat seminars and various gatherings. But there also is so much more in this book, so it's not a traditional cookbook. We have things like how to set up the feng shui of your kitchen, because it can make a big difference in the energy. And yes, indeed, everything you eat has an energy, a vibration, so that can shift the vibration. We talk about things like how your past lives influence your food choices and the foods you're drawn to or the foods you dislike and even food allergies. We also have a whole section on your ancestry, and it's fascinating that the food of your ancestors is often the food that can heal you and strengthen you, and especially if the herbal in tradition, Meadow and I are of Native American heritage, so golden seal, for example, is really good for us. So how you can trace that, and there was, Meadow, do you remember that fascinating research about the women from Thailand and the women from Germany and how the food of their own tradition...
From Sweden.
The food, yeah, do you want to mention that? Because it's fascinating how it really, your ancestry affects the way you assimilate food.
Oh, what is that?
Yeah, it's remarkable. Actually, there was a study at Tufts University, so it's a pretty credible study, and they tested a group of women from Thailand and a group of women from Sweden, and they gave both groups at first traditional Thai food, which is really sweet and spicy. And the most amazing thing was that the Thai women, when tested, their iron absorption was much higher than the iron absorption of the Swedish women, who didn't really care for the sweet, spicy food that wasn't part of their culture, part of their ancestry, and they didn't have a connection to it. And then when they reversed it and they fed both groups of women traditional Swedish food with hamburger, peppers, green beans and potatoes, the Swedish women who had a cultural connection to that food actually absorbed more iron, and the Thai women who found that food pretty bland, actually they didn't absorb as much iron. It's so fascinating that food isn't just a chemical process by which we absorb nutrients, that it really depends on the thoughts, the beliefs, the feelings, and the cultural connection, as well as our genetic heritage, to how it absorbs in our body.
So we have sections on, for example, how your childhood associations with food affect the way that your body absorbs and metabolizes food. We also have a whole kind of mystical section on how to invite an angel for dinner and how to have an ancestor for dinner, which is kind of fun. And then very traditional things like kitchen witches. We think, kitchen witch is just a superstition, but this is a tradition that goes way back, and having an altar in the kitchen goes back to the earliest caveman, cavewoman times, is having an altar next to the hearth being the center of the family, the warmth where the food is cooked. So there's so many table settings. Each table setting is like a little mini altar, like a small altar, and how it's the same way as if you frame a painting, the painting looks that much better. Mm-hmm. Well, they found with food that, for example, they had there was a study where they had brownies out, and they had some on paper plate and some on a beautiful porcelain plate. They were the exact same brownies. They were next to each other, but the brownie on the porcelain plate cost more. People ate that brownie. They paid more for the same brownie because of the presentation. It's that energy of, like, when you have an altar, it's a place to commune with the divine. So we talk about each table setting can be a mini altar. There's lots and lots of information in this book about how to uplift your dining experience. And there's a whole huge section on legendary meals. These are meals that you can create for others and for yourself that they will remember for a lifetime. They're that special. But anyway, there I go getting carried away again.
It's passion. Passion's good, Denise. We like passion. with all of this in mind, knowing, Meadow, that presentation is important, that how we feel about what we're about to put in our bodies is important, can you say a little bit, an important part of the book is about being present during the preparation, being present as you're choosing ingredients, being present during the cooking. Can you say a little bit about that exercise of presence and how it's part of connecting with the spiritual power of food?
Yes, certainly. It's been amazing to see kind of my own transgression, but that's not the right word. My own transformation, I guess, as a chef, is having, as you said in the beginning, I started when I was 18 years old, and I was cooking for my mom's workshops, and it was interesting to see how, and I, at that time, I was working with somebody else, and we had so much fun in the kitchen, and it was a tiny, tiny kitchen, but the food we cooked was good, but it was pretty simple. And people would always say, or not, you know, always, but they often would say, "Oh my God, that was the best whatever I just had," or "How did you make that? That was so good." And I was thinking, it was just a grilled cheese sandwich. You know, it's just a green salad. What? Why is it so special? And what I have realized now, looking back and over the years, was that people were really tasting the joy and fun that we had. We had so much fun. We would take the wooden spoons that we were using to stir the soups and toss the salads, and we'd pretend they were microphones, and we'd dance around the kitchen and sing our heart out. Thank goodness nobody was nearby to hear us, but we had so much fun, you know, open the refrigerator and pretend all the contents of the refrigerator were like an audience at Madison Square Garden, you know, and we were serenading them. And I think that people actually could taste that in the food because, you know, they'd say, like, it's just a grilled cheese sandwich. You know, it's, how can that be that special? And, you know, obviously I used high-quality ingredients. I used really good bread, really good cheese, which makes a difference, obviously. But sometimes a meal is a lot more than the sum of its parts. And so that intention that you put into the food that you're cooking, it can either be the joy and the exuberance of, you know, singing with wooden spoons and pretending the condiments are, you know, the audience in Madison Square Garden, or it could be cooking with the intention of infusing that food with love or peace or whatever energy that you want to put into it really does make a difference. And the same thing as my mom was talking about with when you set the table or when you put the food on the plate, that intention that you put behind it, that it's not just the food that you're eating. An example I like to use is oysters on the half shell. First time I ever had raw oysters, I was camping with my mom on the coast of Oregon, and we went to a little place on the coast where they're harvesting oysters right there, and they shuck them and they put them in a jar for you. And we were camping, and we ate the oysters out of a jar with a plastic spoon. And mind you, I was not a picky child, but I did not like those oysters. They were not that good. And it was years and years until I began to like raw oysters. But the time when I finally came to enjoy them, I had them in Paris with a boyfriend at this little cafe on the street corner. There was probably an accordion player playing, and if not for real, there is in my memory, you know, and we were sipping wine, and they brought out this platter of oysters on the half shell with mignonette sauce on a bed of ice, and it was romantic and beautiful, and I thought the oysters were the best thing I've ever eaten. And to this day, I still, you know, I have all these wonderful associations and feelings with oysters, and really, they were the same, just as fresh, the same product. But one time I found them repulsive, and another time I found them not only delicious, but I have all this aura wrapped around it of the love and the experience and the music and the wine and the you know, everything else that went into it, that it's, you know, it's that intention the chef puts into it, but it's also the intention with which you eat it, and it's the way that it's presented to you as well, that it makes such a difference in how we take that into our bodies.
And, you know, Karen, one thing that seems to be endemic in our culture is this idea of going faster and faster. We have all these supposedly time-saving devices, the washing machine, the dishwasher, you know, our computer, word processors, and yet what's happening is we're having less and less time. And especially when it comes to meals, it's a fast food culture. People eat in front of television or in front of their computers, and they actually don't taste their food.
That's
and
right.
When you are not present with your food in that moment, your body actually doesn't absorb the nutrients as much. And we've noticed when people come to our retreats, we serve a lot of food. And almost always people either maintain their weight when it's, even though it's so much more food than they usually eat, or they lose weight. So many people say, I don't understand it. I ate so much and I lost weight. But I believe it's because they were present with their food. They weren't eating in an unconscious way. And when you eat in an unconscious way, your body doesn't absorb the nutrients. It absorbs the fat. It gloms onto your energy field rather than energizing your energy field.
Well, we're about to have to absorb a break. We'll be right back with Denise and Meadow Lynn right after that.
The cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Get ready for a new and brighter future with The Joseph Gabby Show. Consciously living your destiny. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to break through stagnation and procrastination and fulfill your life's destiny. This hit show will clear mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual stuckness using numerology and an endless list of life-energizing tools live on air. To find out more about Joseph and how to discover the power of blueprint numerology and spiritual healing, visit www.consciouslylivingyourdestiny.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
How would you feel if you could bring magic into your life? Here is your Essence of Gratitude tip of the day. By living the essence of gratitude within our soul at each moment of our life, we consciously choose and embody its high frequency energy, and that is when magic starts to appear. To learn more about the magic of the Essence of Gratitude, visit our website at explorationgratitude.com.
Have you ever considered what money and sex have in common? Brenda St. Louis, founder of Know That You Know, explores the energies of debt, money, sex, and our bodies. In her four-week intensive Debt Into Delight, Getting Intimate with Your Digits, she tickles all those places we don't want to look at, infusing everything with exuberance. Would you be willing to have more money? Would you be willing to have more of you? Explore more of Brenda St. Louis at knowthatyouknow.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. And my guests today are Denise and Meadow Lynn. They are the authors of the new book, The Mystic Cookbook, The Secret Alchemy of Food. This is published by Hay House and is being released at the end of November. But go now to themysticcookbook.com to find out more about them and more about this really interesting and very cool book. Denise and Meadow, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. When we were, just before we went to the break there, we were starting to talk about fast eating, mindless eating. Now, I, of course, don't know anything about this, but I've heard that there are others, less enlightened people, who might warm up their frozen TV dinner and then sit in front of the TV with their mouth hanging open and their eyes wide open, shoveling stuff into their mouth with a fork. I would never do that. But Meadow, when you think about fast eating, about this culture of shove it in and forget you even ate it, how does some of what you've put in the book try to sort of change people's minds, gives us different options?
Well, the interesting thing about that, Karen, what you're saying with the fast eating is it triggers our fight or flight, make sure I get that, fight or flight response. So, you know, you wonder how can I put on all this weight? I'm not eating all that much. But when we eat really fast, it actually raises our cortisol levels, our breathing gets faster and shallower, and our body, harkens back to antiquity when if your part's pumping fast and you're breathing shallow and you're eating,
And the monster's chasing you. You got to eat fast.
Yeah, your body's thinking, I got to hold on to all these calories, and I've got to just hold on.
Because you never know when the monster. Yeah, you don't know when you get to eat again.
Right.
So that's one of the big drawbacks to the fight or flight plus, or to the eating fast. But you're not really really enjoying the food either. And the amazing thing, and we talk about this a lot in the book too, is when, you know, as I mentioned before, the presentation, the joy and love that goes into the preparation and the way it looks when you eat it, but also when you sit down to eat it, when you take that time to either say grace before or to feel gratitude for the people who grew the food and, you know, and harvested it and brought it to market and prepared it, you know, all the steps that brought it to you, when you take that time to be cognizant of and eat, and, you know, a lot of times that people put that, the gratefulness, wrap that into the idea of eating mindfully is a pretty word that a lot of people are throwing around now, mindful eating. But it really does make a difference. And so in the book, we talk a lot about different ways that you can do that. And, you know, as I said, sometimes it's just sitting down and saying grace or thinking about all that went into getting the food to you. But it's also in noticing the colors, the textures, the flavors on your plate. And like you said, you know, I would know nothing about watching TV while I'm eating. But, you know, and we all do it. And you know, sometimes we even mention the book that it, in some ways, it harkens back to the times of yore when people actually ate together around a communal fire and had this sense of community. Like, I live by myself. I often turn on the TV to feel that sense of community while I'm eating. But I notice that when I take the time to sit at the table by myself and or with friends if they're around, but often, you know, I live by myself. I eat a lot by myself. I enjoy my meal more. I feel fuller. I feel more sated. I notice the gentle nuances of flavor and texture and taste. And it's not just feeding my physical appetite. I feel physically and spiritually more uplifted, and I feel happier and healthier and more vibrant and vital as a result. And it's amazing. It seems so silly. Like, how can just eating slower and spending time focusing on your meal make a difference? But it really does. It's remarkable.
Well, they've done research where they'll have a one group, they have the same group, they'll have them eat a meal slowly and eat it quickly. And what they find is when people spend a little bit longer eating the meal, not only do they feel full sooner and they eat less, that eat with very little effort. The estimate is that you could lose 10 pounds a year simply by just eating a little bit slower, because you feel fuller and you feel more satiated, and those people tend to rate those meals as better. They taste better. It's better tasting food. And the simple thing is just being present and being conscious as they're eating.
And I was just going to say, and also for me, noticing the beauty that goes into it, that I feel like one, you can lose weight by eating slower, as my mom said, but also when you see that beauty, we all feel better and happier and more spiritually fulfilled when, or maybe we don't all do. I'm a Libra, so I think everybody does. Everybody loves beauty like I do, but I feel better as a result, not just physically from eating well and not gaining that extra 10 pounds by eating fast and mindlessly, but also because I'm absorbing the beauty that's in the smells, the colors, the textures, as I said, that it really feeds my soul.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you guys are making me think about the difference between eating with that feeling of being under attack, because even if I'm sitting, you know, hypothetically sitting in my chair, shoveling my meal into my body while I'm watching a news program that's making me upset, there's that feeling of being under attack, or eating in the way that you present in the book, which is about inviting, invoking, creating a space for receiving. And so, Denise, can you talk a little bit about how you've got some wonderful ideas in the book about setting up meals to invite or connect with, let's say, let's start with our past lives.
Well, what's fascinating about the sense of smell, and most of what we think of as taste, you know, well, I'm tasting it, most of that actually is smell. When people, and there's some people that lose their capacity to smell, and as a result, they say food doesn't taste very good. So most of our appreciation of taste of food has to do with smell. What's interesting about smell is, of all the senses, smell has the largest portion of the brain. And smell, we think about the way somebody looks, somebody sounds, somebody feels. We don't often think about, for example, the way someone smells, but research has shown that we like or dislike somebody based more on the way they smell than the way they sound, look, or feel. So this idea of smell being a catalyst, and it's not conscious. We're not usually conscious of those smells, but our body is conscious. So I found and I've been taking people on past life regressions. It's not uncommon for me to take 5,000 people at once on a live past life regression. And wow. I've been doing this for decades. So I'm passionate about the value of past lives. And the thing about smell with food is one of the fastest ways to catapult back into one of those past lives, to experience it, to really experience it, is through food. When you eat the food, but you have to do it in a conscious way. Just eating a meal of boiled potatoes isn't going to instantly catapult you back to your past life in Ireland. But when you eat food with consciousness, noticing, taking a bite, noticing images, emotions, feelings, it often can be a very powerful way to travel back. Another thing you can do with past lives is you can look for past life clues. What foods have you always liked? Even maybe there's no reason why you liked it. Excuse me. What foods have you disliked? You know, it could be something from your childhood. It could be something you saw, read, or heard. But it could also be a past life. One of the things we talk about in the book is having a come-as-you-were dinner party, having people who are, you know, interested in past lives or curious about past lives actually even dress up as who they were and bring a dish from one that they might have had in the past life. And those are really fun parties. And it's stretching. You have to kind of stretch it. Okay, you guys, we're having a come-as-you-were party. Bring a dish from that time period. But it's fun. And it's not uncommon for there to be spontaneous memories when you're using food as a catalyst to explore your past lives.
Wow. And it can be connected also to food that you just can't stand in this incarnation,
right?
May have a connection to a past life.
Yeah. And a kid, it can be anything. It could be someone who was pregnant and they were feeling nauseous and they got that food, so it maybe has nothing to do with a past life. But it can very much have to do with a past life. I think one of the examples we used in the book was, as I remember it, was a woman who really, really didn't like beans. I mean, she just had a aversion to beans, but she went back to a past life, I think in the 1500s in Mexico, where she was a slave at a large hacienda, and pretty much the only food she got to eat was beans. And so she associated beans with poverty, beans with being hungry, beans with hard work. So there were all those negative associations. The great thing, though, is with past lives, is she went back and she was able to use food to get her back there to that past life. And so not only the issues around beans was she able to heal, but there were so many other issues, like not deserving, and other people have more, and other people are better, that, you know, all those other issues that were in that past life that she'd brought to the present life. But through the food, through the beans, she was able to heal all of that. And
fantastic.
She likes beans now.
That's great. Well, we will be right back after this break. This is Out of the Fog with Karen Hager.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm all right. Don't nobody but about me. You got to give me a fight. Why don't you just let me be? Do what you like. Do it in
that. Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on Transformation Talk Radio.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Ooh, and it's all right, and it's coming along. We gotta get right back.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. My guests on today's show are Denise and Meadow Lynn, and they are the authors of The Mystic Cookbook, The Secret Alchemy of Food. This book will be released at the end of November. They told me off the air that if you go to Amazon.com, there's a pretty sweet pre-order deal for the book. So head over there, pre-order your copy of the book so you'll have it as we move into those winter holidays. And you can also find out more about Denise, about Meadow, and about their book at themysticcookbook.com. We've talked a lot about food, about mindful eating, about ways that you can use food to invoke, invite, discover, kind of wake yourself up spiritually. Denise, can you say a little bit about how we can also make the space where we prepare the food a place that has resonance as we're doing that?
Well, one of the things that I'm passionate about is feng shui. In fact, I wrote the second book in English ever written in English about feng shui a million years ago, and now there's hundreds. I've also founded the largest feng shui institute in the nation, so it's something that is kind of indigenous in my soul. And what I found is that feng shui principles aren't, people think, oh, that's Chinese superstition, but actually in all the cultures that I've spent time in around the world, every ancient culture has an understanding of how we organize our space and how it can make a difference in our life. Now, the great thing about the kitchen, in no small way, the kitchen is probably the most important room in the entire house. So we have a whole section on, you know, kitchen feng shui. And one of the things we suggest in the book is setting up an altar. This is very traditional. The altar was always put next to the hearth. The hearth in the kitchen, of course, would be the stove, but anywhere in the kitchen. And an altar doesn't have to be religious. It's a way of honoring that sacred within. It's honoring the sacred within all things. It's remembering what's truly important in life. And we've got lots of suggestions. Some people say, I don't have room. Well, you can put a little shelf, hang it up on the, you know, or have a framed altar and hang it up on the wall. Or you can stick it inside a cupboard and just open it up. Peekaboo, there's my altar. There's lots of things you can do like that. But there's things, too, like in traditional feng shui, the burners represent wealth. So you pay particular attention, especially to the far left-hand burner, because that one is most closely associated with wealth. And you make sure you at least use that, you know, periodically use that one, because that's your wealth area. Every time you fire it up, you're firing up wealth and abundance. And people say superstition, but hey, if it works, you know, I don't care if it sounds weird. If it works, and feng shui works, and there's lots of high-level businesses that employ, sometimes secretly, feng shui masters to come in because the profits go up. So I'm getting carried away. So there's a lot. I get into the details because I get so excited that I forget. Meadow, do you have anything to add?
No, you're on a roll. Keep going.
In feng shui, we don't like to see the stove right next to the refrigerator. But the great thing is in feng shui, there are always cures. So usually if you put something like the wooden chopping block between the refrigerator and the stove, or you could put a wooden, you know, where you keep the knives, anything of wood, because wood symbolically is activating fire. You know, the fire gets bigger with wood. So if you want to activate your abundance, your prosperity, and within many cultures, when you get the abundant feng shui in the kitchen accurate, that abundance goes into the food. And we've talked about, you know, eating love. And if you're eating really fast, you're actually eating fear because you're activating that deep ancestral memory of eating on the run and being afraid that the dinosaur is going to eat you. So you're eating fear. But if you get the abundance prosperity energy right in the kitchen, you're eating abundance. You're eating prosperity. You also want to feel good. It gets confusing with feng shui. But here, two simple rules. Quickly, if it feels good, it's good feng shui. If it feels bad, it's bad feng shui. And if you remember those two rules, you will not get it wrong.
Wow. And that applies to a lot of other things besides feng shui.
Right.
If you're using your intuition, if you're tuned in and something feels not so great, you need to stop and take a look at it because it might be not so great. Meta,
absolutely.
When you were working on the book, how much did your own intuition have to do with what you chose to put in, the recipes that went in and that the choices that you made?
Well, I've never been asked that question before. That's a good one.
Oh, good. I'm glad you said that's a good one, because I wouldn't want you to say, I've never been asked that question before. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, good. I guess we're okay.
I would say it was, it was a blend of intuition and practicality. I tend to be pretty practical. I went through kind of the files in my brain of the different dishes I'd served over the years and which ones were popular, which ones were simple and easy to recreate. I tend to prefer recipes that don't have a lot of ingredients, don't have fancy techniques. So a lot of it was the practical bit. And then the intuition, too, of which ones would blend well together, which ones paired well with the stories we were telling in the book, and which ones really just made me happy. Yes, that was a big part of it, was, choosing the recipes that I really enjoy eating, I really enjoy making. Sometimes, a lot of recipes we enjoy eating, but there's also the ones that there's some I just love to make. Even if it tasted like mud, I would probably still like to make them just because they're fun to make. And not that any of them in the book taste like mud, but...
That's the new subtitle, The Mystic Cookbook, This Does Not Taste Like Mud. Okay, good.
Yes.
One thing I want to add, too, is we believe in a spirit realm, and certainly that was what I experienced when I had the near-death experience. And there are those in the realm of spirit that love to cook. So one of the things we talk about in the book is how to invite those beings into your kitchen. And often those flashes of intuition, they come from those dudes. They're like, put some cayenne in it, do it. And you get this idea, cayenne, I never thought of that before. So that's another way of activating your intuition, too, is inviting those in the realm of spirit. And often those flashes will come from them.
Mm-hmm. Now, wonderful. Now that is all the time we have for today. See, I told you it would go fast. Denise and Meadow, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having
us. It's such a joy.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. They are the authors of The Mystic Cookbook, The Secret Alchemy of Food. You can find out more at themysticcookbook.com and go to fogcitypsychic.com. Click on everything. Stream past episodes of the show and find out what's coming up next on Out of the Fog. Thank you for listening today. Together, we're spreading a little more light in the world. And a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.
You've been listening to the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. Visit fogcitypsychic.com today to book your session with Karen and learn about upcoming events and classes. If you've missed any part of this amazing show, go to fogcitypsychic.com for your free download. See you next week.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.
I used to be afraid, and now I love. I feel like fear just cripples you and love frees you. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing and changing from fear to love and showing people that that's the only way. I love, I love, I love. I no longer fear. Thank you.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think that Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Hello, everyone. This is Cosmic Connections with Madeline. This is Madeline Gerwig.
This is Saskia Roel. You're listening to Your Soul Guidance with me on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hey, you guys. This is Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Success and Empowerment Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Alive and Shine with Advent Savitri.
Hello, welcome.
Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Peggy Parker, and you're listening to Simple Solutions for Everyday Health.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christine Epchurch.
And I'm Sabrina Fritz.
And you are listening to Authenticity Rising.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Jeff Lineweaver, and you are listening to Dialogue Radio on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ.